Thank you for being here. It is a pleasure to be here today. What we're going to do, the reason this is on, many of you were not able, Aunt Mary, thanks for staying. Many of you were not here Thursday night, and Thursday night I did something a little bit different to open up our missions revival. And what I did is I took really the whole service and I showed a PowerPoint presentation, just showing some pictures of Cambodia, Thailand, and Laos, and just thanking the church family for your investment, your praying, your giving, and of course, many going. That's what missions revival is all about. Tonight, we're going to have a church business meeting, and tonight, Pastor Myers is going to come up here. You're going to have a business meeting, and that business meeting is going to determine the eternal destiny of many souls. And the way you vote is not yes or no. The way you vote is whether you give or not. And so tonight's going to be the most important business meeting this church family will have until next year this time. And so what I wanted to do, I'm going to take just a few moments. I have a short presentation like we showed the other day, but it's a video. This is something we produced for Pastor Joe and sent it to him. And just so he could know what was going on in Thailand, Laos, and Cambodia. So, Brother Jeremy, are you ready to show that? Okay, so it's 3 or 4 minutes, and then we'll stand, we'll read the scripture, and then we'll get into the message. Okay, let's stand, please. Nehemiah chapter 1. I do want to, if you did not get a prayer card, we did pass them out Thursday night, but we do have prayer cards in the back table. Please feel free to get one. I send out prayer updates 2 to 3 times a month, very seldom, less than 2 times a month, 2 to 3 times a month. You could sign up for our blog update. Now that I'm in the States for a few months, I'm sure it'll only be 2 times a month. But and you can check out all the contact information. As I mentioned on Thursday, I wrote a book called Keep the Dream Alive. And of course, Pacific Baptist Church family, you know, I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But this is really Pastor Joe's life, his dream that started in North Chicago to reach the Cambodian people, led to starting Cambodian Baptist Church, and then it became Pacific Baptist Church and sending teams out. If you're a member of Pacific Baptist Church, you really ought to get this book. This is your legacy. It's your history. And I would encourage you to get it. It's $6, and it'll be encouraging to you just to see all that God has done, and those are available on the back table. Nehemiah chapter 1. Normally, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, when you hear somebody say, turn to Ezra or Nehemiah, you think building program. But I am going to tell you right now, the book of Nehemiah is really a great missions book. So I'm going to do a part one and part two, because I think you guys normally get out in 5 minutes. But I'm going to do a part one and part two today from the book of Nehemiah. And the title of the message is very simple. Doing a great work in a faraway land. Doing a great work in a faraway land. We're not going to look at Nehemiah 6:3, but in Nehemiah 6:3, Nehemiah says, I am doing a great work. I cannot come down. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to tie it into missions revival, because the reason we're here, Pastor Myers made it very, very clear Thursday night. Here's why we're here. We're going to encourage you to pray. We're encouraging many to go. But he said, we're getting you to give. It really is what it's about. Yes. All of those people got saved. Cambodia, less than 2% profess any form of Christianity. That would be Catholic. That would be Jehovah's Witness. That would be Seventh-day Adventist. 2%, less than 2%. Laos, less than 2%. Thailand, less than 2%. China, where my wife and I are getting ready to go to China, less than 5%. And that would be Catholic. That would be anything that has the name of Jesus. All of those people you saw that were saved in Laos, Thailand, and Cambodia, it's because people like you were willing to pray and you were willing to give, and many willing to go. And I encourage you to be back here tonight, because very important business meeting. And plus, we're going to have part two of the message. Amen? Nehemiah chapter 1. Brother Tim, can I get you doing me a favor? Can you bring that water up here? Oh, thank you, sir. I just got through preaching for the Kamai, and I got a bad case of cotton mouth. Nehemiah chapter 1. We'll start in verse number 2. We're going to read verses 2 through 4, make a couple comments, and then we'll go forward. That Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction. Can I get you to say great affliction?
Great affliction.
Great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass that when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Father, I pray that you'd bless our time together this morning. We're thankful for everybody here. We're thankful for the job that Pastor Myers and the church staff are doing here. We are thankful for a church, Lord, that for many years not only has prayed for missions, they've not only given to missions, but they've sent many people to the mission field. And we're thankful for that. I pray that you'd bless today. I pray that you'd bless this morning service. I pray that you'd bless this evening. Of course, Monterey Park. I'll be going to Monterey Park, preaching a couple times for them. We pray that you'd bless the services there. Just give us a good day. May Christ be exalted and honored. And may men and women all over the world, beginning in Jerusalem, be saved because we've met together today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, I have got to talk really fast, but let me get a gulp. Many of you are familiar with the story. God's people have been in captivity for about 100 years now. For many years, they were in Babylonian captivity. The Medes, the Persians came in, conquered Babylon. So now they are in captivity under the Medes and the Persians. A man named Nehemiah, he's a Jew. A man named Nehemiah is working in the king's palace. Good job. He's living a very comfortable life, no doubt. Now, he's a Jew. He's never been to Jerusalem. He's never been to Judah. They don't have internet. They don't have Instagram. They don't have Facebook. They don't have radio. They don't have television. He has absolutely no idea what's going on in Jerusalem. He's living a very comfortable life. No doubt he's educated. If you're going to work for the king, you're going to be educated. No doubt he wears some fine apparel. No doubt his living quarters are no doubt nice. He eats good food. And to be honest with you, he's just living a comfortable life. And let me just say this. One of the greatest hindrances, maybe the greatest hindrance to the fulfillment of the Great Commission is comfort. It's comfort. And Nehemiah's living a comfortable life. He would be a lot like our Khmer folks. I just shared this with our Khmer folks. Many of our Khmer folks, they came here 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Their children are Cambodian. Their grandchildren are Cambodian, but they've never been to Cambodia. And the truth of the matter is, if you ask them, are you Cambodian? They'd say, well, I'm Cambodian, but America is home. That's Nehemiah. He's living a comfortable life. He has absolutely no desire whatsoever to go to Jerusalem. He has no desire whatsoever to go to Judah. He's living this comfortable life. He's serving the king. He's just got it made in the shade. But then something happens. A group of Jewish brethren led by a man named Hanani show up. We don't know anything about these men. All we know is they show up and we see Nehemiah in a conversation with them. And then Nehemiah makes a really tragic mistake, at least as far as his comfort is concerned. He asks a question. It's always dangerous to ask questions. Because what you know sometimes, you feel safe and comfortable. But Nehemiah asks a question. He says to Hanani, hey, just can you fill me in? What's going on in Jerusalem? And so Hanani says to him, man, there's great reproach. The people are in affliction. There's great reproach. The gates are torn down. There's fire. Everything changes because of one conversation. Nehemiah hears something. That's what a missions revival is all about. You have the opportunity to hear something. Now we have the opportunity, because of technology today, to also see something. So here's Nehemiah, he's in the king's palace, he hears about this problem in Jerusalem. Again, he's a Jew, he's never been to Jerusalem, he's never been to Judah, and he's very comfortable, but he hears, and immediately, if you have your Bible open, immediately, it says in verse number 4, and it came to pass, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept. Look, can I ask you a question this morning? When was the last time you heard something that so moved your heart that it caused you to weep? Nehemiah heard something. He heard about the problem in Jerusalem. His heart is breaking. Not only is his heart breaking, not only is he weeping, that says he fasted and he prayed. Now, there's basically two kinds of fast. There's one fast, you say, every Tuesday I'm going to fast and pray. I'm going to get hold of God. You have it scheduled. But there's another fast, and this is the fast that Nehemiah is experiencing. There's a fast that you become so burdened for something, or you become so burdened for someone, you forget to eat. You lose your desire to eat. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time your heart was so burdened, your heart was so broken, not only did you weep, but you lost your desire to eat. You just totally forgot about it. And that's where Nehemiah is. Here he is. He's a Jewish man. He's living a comfortable life. And all of a sudden he hears about a problem hundreds of miles away. Yes, they're his people, but in reality, they're not really his people because he doesn't live there. He's never been there. These are people he doesn't know. These are people his culture is totally different. Yes, he might be a Jew, but he's been raised in a totally different culture. It would be just like any of our Khmer children here or any of our Filipino children here, any of our Hispanic children. They grow up, they live in America, and for the most part, they become Americans. That's Nehemiah. And he hears something. And he begins to weep. He begins to mourn. He begins to fast. He begins to pray. But he doesn't stop there. He does something. And we'll talk a little bit more about that tonight. I just want to take a couple moments and share with you. You've had a chance to see about Santa Ana, and you've seen some of our pictures. I'm going to take a couple moments, and I'm going to talk to you about a world that's far, far away from here. This morning, all I want you to do, I'm take 5 or 8 minutes, I want you to hear something. And my prayer is that you will hear something that will so move your heart that tonight when Pacific Baptist Church gathers as a church family, you will do something with what you've heard. We often say a missions revival, missions conference, it's to get people to pray, it's to get people to give, and to get people to go. That's what we're gathering together for. There's another part of the world that most of us as Americans are not familiar with. It's a part of the world that is known as a 1040 window. Now, we presently have teams in Cambodia, Thailand, and Laos, and all three of those countries are in a 1040 window. This part of the world, it's 68 countries, 69 countries, and 4.5 billion people, creeping towards 5 billion people. The vast majority of those people have never, nor will they ever experience anything that we're experiencing today. In Cambodia, every week, just about every week, I meet people, not who are just not Christians. I meet people, not just people who haven't heard the gospel. I meet people every week, just about every week, that have never heard the name of Jesus, even once. Not once. Do you know that 86%, can I get you to say 86%? 86% of the Muslim, Buddhist, and Hindus in the world will never meet a Christian their entire life. Never. And you know, if you don't meet a Christian, there's really a good chance that you're not going to hear the gospel. And almost all of those people live in that part of the world. I'm talking about a part of the world that in Cambodia, the average person makes $1.50 a day. A world that's poor. It's impoverished. I'm talking about a world where on a frequent basis, parents offer me their children to keep. Frequently. Please take my son. Please take my daughter. Now, as Americans, that is appalling to us. We think, how could a parent who loves their child do that? No, you have to be there to see. How can a parent who loves their child not do that? Because they look at me, they know that if I take their child, I can offer their child a better life. Their child could be fed. Their child could be clothed. Their daughter doesn't have to live a life of prostitution. Their daughter doesn't have to live a life of working for $100 a month, 15 hours a day, 7 days a week, working in a factory so we in America can have nice clothes. So they offer the children. I'm talking about a part of the world that you can drive for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 miles and not see one church. I didn't say one good church. That's always, well, I'm going over here because there's no good churches. I'm going to tell you a part of the world, there are no churches, period. Not good or bad. The country of China, it's unbelievable. Every once in a while I post on Instagram and Twitter, I'll post something like this. Looking to start a church? I got a city for you. How about Shanghai, China? 26 million people, not one independent Baptist church, almost the size of California. How about Guangzhou, China? 20 million people, one independent Baptist church. You go to China, it's just thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of people. It's just all of these people, and less than 5% of them profess any form of Christianity. That's Jehovah's Witness, that's Mormon, that's Catholic. That's why we meet. Sometimes, if we're not careful as Christians, Brother Ayala just asked me, did I get saved here? Well, I didn't get saved in Long Beach, but I grew up here. And just like Pastor Myers, Pastor Joe, we grew up here. This was our old stomping grounds. I didn't get saved till I was 21 years old in the United States Army, and I got saved on a bum LSD experience. His name is Ringo, my name's John, George and Paul is somewhere around here. Somebody say amen. I'll never forget the first time I preached for their church. I met, okay, you got Ringo, Paul, and George? Ringo, Paul, and George. Which one? Oh, you're missing John. So I asked his dad. I one of them said, I said, no way. No. Ringo, Paul, and George, you got to be kidding me. I'm from the Beatle days. I used to listen to them. My wife still does a little bit. But and they, one of them told me, yeah, my dad used to like the Beatles. So I asked his dad, well, what about John? He said, I got saved. And he said, Pastor Wilkerson or somebody said, man, you might as well name him the next one John because he's in the Bible. Somebody say amen. But you know, here's the thing. I got saved and my life started to change. And most of us, we could testify to this. We get comfortable. We have good churches. We have good air conditioning. We have good Christian fellowship. We're going to have good food after the service this morning. But can I just say something? Every once in a while, someone or something has to jar us out of our comfort zone. And I remember 5-7 years ago, and those of you who know me, you know this is true. The first 7 books I wrote were all about America. It was all about America. But then I heard something. And what I heard not only changed the desire of my heart, but the direction of my life. What Nehemiah heard changed the desires of his heart and the direction of his life. Probably at least two months ago, Mon and I were out soul winning. And every week I have Mon or Vanak. I go soul winning with them. And spend a lot of time discipling these guys. These guys are grounded Christians. They're staff members in our ministry there in Cambodia. But one of the reasons I went to Cambodia, Brother Board said, look, the ministry is growing so rapidly. The greatest need we have is leadership development. And the work in Cambodia is just amazing. What's going on there, it's just, wow. I mean, it's just God is doing a good thing. And thank you for praying and thank you for giving. One day we are going soul winning. Brother Ron, I'm going to need your help in a moment because he corrected me on the pronunciation. I cannot pronounce any of their names or any of their words. Sometimes I'll ask for prayer in a prayer meeting and I butcher the name and everybody laughs at me. And so in a minute, I'm going to need you to help me with the Kappa Chi okay? So he corrected me the other day. So when they were out soul winning, and there in Cambodia, sometimes it'll take us 6 months of sharing the gospel every week with an individual to get saved. And because they don't get it. It's not like going to Mexico. It's not going to the Philippines. It's not like going to a place where they're Catholic. Catholics believe the Bible's the Word of God. They believe in the Trinity. They believe in heaven. They believe in hell. You're talking the Buddhists. They have absolutely no concept whatsoever what you're talking about. So it often takes us a while. So we had been sharing the gospel with this man. His name is Hoc Wah. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Hoc Wah. And we'd been sharing the gospel with him, I think, for at least 6 weeks. And then we had actually sent our best national soul winner there, our brother Sanat there. And I think shared the gospel with him a couple times. He didn't get saved. Well, in Cambodia, it rains a lot. And when it rains, it floods. And when it floods, it's not clean water. It's raw sewage. And it's just something we live with. It's just something that we deal with. You just sort of get used to. So one Friday night, it rained really hard, and I mean really hard. And as it's raining hard, the next day we're going to go soul winning. We already know what we're going to deal with, because most of the people that we minister to, most of the people that we serve, they live in a house, a hut, a shack that you wouldn't put your dog in. They have no toilet. They have no sink, no shower facility, no bathtub. It's just a little shack that most of us would not put our dog in. And when it floods, what happens is the raw sewage comes in, and it just literally goes through their house, and they just go through. It's just, it is, Albert, what it is. It is what it is. And you could go into their little shack, and you could see the wall, and you could see the stain, you know, 18 inches, 24 inches, just where the raw sewage is. So Friday night, it rained really hard, so we already know what we have to deal with. And because we're going to have to walk through the stuff, and hopefully it's not going to be too deep and that type of thing. So on Saturday, Mont and I go, and we get to just about where Hoc Wah lives. Hoc Wah is about 100 feet from us. And those of you who are Khmer, you know what I'm talking about. The Khmer people, they can sit like this. They can squat like this like forever. I do this for 2 minutes. I say, man, get me a crane. Help me. You know, I never want to be rude when I'm sharing the gospel with them. I'll come down like this. But after about 5 minutes, I'll say, you know, it's through interpretation. Can you please tell me I got a bad back? I just have to get up. But we see Hoc Wah, and he's sitting like that. And I'm going to fall here. He's sitting like that. We see him. And between us and him, there's, I'm going to say, close to 100 feet of raw sewage. It's like 2 feet deep. Now, I'm just be really honest with you. I'm from America, and I'm just, even though I live in Southeast Asia, I sort of don't like to walk through raw sewage. Some would say, man, you know, it's just, especially because I have sandals on, and especially because I have open sores on my feet. And so I'm standing there, and I'm looking, and I know Mon is thinking the same thing, because Mon told me the week before he had went to somebody else's house, he had to walk through the raw sewage, and he just walked away, and he thought to himself, maybe next week, okay? So here we are, we're looking. As we're looking, neither one of us say anything, but I think we're both thinking, you know what? Hoc Wah probably needs a visit next week. Somebody say amen. And you know, we didn't get this far, but I'm telling you, I was ready to do this. But unfortunately, Hoc Wah saw us. I got to use brother. Kampa Chia Krom, Vietnamese Khmer, Vietnamese Cambodian. Very, very poor man. He sees us and he waves at us. And he says, oh, man. I'm thinking, oh my goodness. Now, fortunately, he had built a little bridge with rocks, and so we didn't have to go through all 2 feet, maybe just 6 or 8 inches. And we got over there and we shared the gospel with him, and he got saved. Amen. You say, what does that story have to do with missions revival and Nehemiah and comfortable? Well, To be honest with you, Mon and I were really comfortable on the dry ground. And even though Mon and I could see and we knew the need, we knew this man needed to get saved, we knew it. Had he not seen us and called us, I think we would have walked away. Missions Revival at Pacific Baptist Church gives all of us an opportunity to stand in the comfort of the dry ground and to see and to hear the need. But now we have to make a choice.
Yeah.
We have one missionary going to the Philippines. We have one missionary going to Santa Ana. You already support many missionaries, our three teams. We're getting ready to gear up to go to China, and I'll talk a little bit more about that, show you a video tonight. Tonight's business meeting. This morning, I just want you to call me Hanani. I've come from a faraway land, and I just wanted to let you know for a couple moments, there's a lot of problems over there. There's a lot of people who need Jesus. And my prayer and my heart's desire is that many here this morning will do like Nehemiah. Allow your heart to be moved with compassion and pray. And we'll talk a little bit more about what Nehemiah did later this evening. But to do your part. I have to do my part, and you have to do your part. We all have a part in this thing we call the Great Commission. Nehemiah's living a very comfortable life, just like many of us. But one day he hears something. And what he heard changed the desire of his heart and the direction of his life. The great missionary William Carey once said this: to know the will of God, all you need is an open Bible and an open map. Sometimes we don't really explain that, but to know the will of God to do with your time, your talents, and treasures, all you have to do is open up the Bible, and all you have to do is open up a map and see where the need is so great. Let's stand. Let's pray.